Pidanabalava Griva Dari Chaya Griva Dari. Kopi dana balaba, grivaradari, jaya grivaradari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jaya Braja Janaranjana. Soda Nandana Raja Janaranjana Jaya Raja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Varachari Jaya Kunda Vihari. Yamuna Tira Varachari Jaya Kunda Vihari. Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari. Kopi Dana Balaba Grivaradari Jaya Grivaradari. Kopi dana balaba grivaradari jaya grivaradari. so da na 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 ra da 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 ra da na jaya ra da da na ra da na so da na 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 pra da da na ra da na jaya pra da da na ra da na Yamunatiravarachari Jayakunja Vihari Yamunatiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Ravidakasharya Asadhara Sadushi Sriman. His Divine Grace, Lacey Bhaktivedanta Swami Raj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, Mong Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai, Sri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane, Namaste Sarasatundeve, Gauravani Vicharne, Nirvishesha Shunivadi, Paskatya De Satarne. Om Agana Timanandasya Gananjana Salakaya, Chaksur Militam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Tadati Svapadantikam, Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Uta Parakamalam, Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagarjatam, Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadvudutam Prajna Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sagana Lalita, Shri Visakans Vitamscha, Hey Krishna Karna Sindo, Dinabando Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchena Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshri, Prishubhanu Sutta Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchakapa Truvyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanam Bhavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pravinitananda, Shedvaitikadadhar Shivasiddhi Gaura Bhaktivrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Thank you for coming. I just wanted to mention that the Ministry for Health and Welfare, every year we publish a journal, and this year's journal has just recently been published. It's a picture of Shishi Radha and Krishna on the cover. There's quotes from Prabhupada in this issue, traditional ethics in Ayurveda, an article on pranayama, divine delivery, herbal health, and there is news from ISKCON around the world about health. So we have these. We take donations. Usually we ask if you can give $5 for each issue. If you can give a little less, that's all right. We use that to publish our next magazine. Also, para ellos que no hablan en español, en inglés, si quieres una en español, tenemos también una revista en castellano, si quieres, pero pienso que ellos que hablan español están en la otra clase. Pero sí, todavía tenemos una revista aquí. Hindi. Toro, Toro, just now coming. We have it in Russian also, if you speak Russian. And we'll have it in Hindi as soon as we find a translator. Tonight we're going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge. Oh, I'm sorry, chapter 10, the opulence of the absolute, text number 10. Tesham saratam yuktanam bhajantam priti purvakam Didami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. This is Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, the word buddhi yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord, instructing Arjuna, said that he had spoken to him of many things and that he would instruct him in the way of buddhi yoga. Now, buddhi yoga is explained. Buddhi yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence, and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called buddhi yoga. In other words, buddhi yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this. Therefore, the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna. And when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed and the ultimate goal is achieved. When a person knows the goal of life but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculations to understand Krishna, he is acting in jnana yoga. And when he knows that the goal and sees Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is acting in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional state of life. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization. But if he's not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately to attain to him. Namo Vishnu, Tesham Satatam Yuktanam Vajantam Priti Purvakam Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatya De Satarne. So Lord Krishna is giving us some idea how to utilize our present energies in such a way as to become Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness means to become aware of Krishna. Everyone is trying to become aware or conscious of something according to our understanding, according to what our goal is. In present society, generally the goal is to make money. As it is said by Prahlad Maharaj, money, money, sweeter than honey. The professional soldier, the thief, the merchant, they risk their very dear life just to get some money. Because why money? Because money in itself brings a sense of power, sense of material enjoyment, and helps us in the quest for sense gratification. Of course, a certain amount of sense gratification is necessary just to maintain the body together. Just like if we have a car, a certain amount of fuel is necessary to run the car. We cannot expect to drive the car to some destination and not put any fuel into the car. Not clean the car, not supply the necessary ingredients such as oil or other types of lubricants for the car. In order to use the car properly, we have to also maintain the car properly. Similarly, the human form of life is an opportunity to go back to the spiritual world. And in order to do so, we have to also maintain the body properly. But, as it says in French, it is necessary to eat to live, but it is not necessary to live to eat. Nowadays, people think that by getting sufficient money, then we can get a big house, and that way we'll sleep better. And then we'll get nicer and nicer food, and we'll be able to eat better. And the more money I have, the more girlfriends or boyfriends I have, the more I'll be able to enjoy. And ultimately, the bigger my bank balance, I can protect myself. Any trouble, I'll simply write a check. So this idea is not the ultimate purpose of life. Because whether or not modern society recognizes it or not, the material nature is governed by certain laws. And the first law is that as soon as we want to become the controllers of the material nature, as soon as we want to enjoy the material nature without any reference to the laws of nature, and ultimately without any reference to the supreme lawmaker, Lord Krishna, then at once we're arrested by the illusory energy
and put into an illusory conception of life by identifying ourselves with this body. So, the fact that we've been arrested by the illusory energy is not in dispute, because everyone is in a body which is constantly changing. Changing means that it's going from one state to the next. It's going from boyhood to youth to old age, or it's going from hot to cold, honor, dishonor, pain, so-called lack of pain. In any case, the body is always changing, but we, the person within the body, who are aware of all these different experiences that the body is going through, we're not changing. Therefore, whether we understand it or not, still we're within a body and we're different from the body. We're a spiritual being. So life is meant not only to experience the different changes that the body is going through. Life is meant by following principles, science, of how to utilize the body to get out of the body. Just like if there is trying to create something, for instance, an automobile, there's a science that you have to go through to assemble everything together, utilizing your intelligence in a certain way to assemble the right parts in the right way at the right time in order to create an automobile. Similarly, if we want to create our consciousness to become spiritual, then we have to follow the right method in the right way in the right time in order to utilize the present body in the fields of economic development and sense gratification to ultimately come to the platform of becoming free from this false concept of life. So here it says that this is called Buddha Yoga. Buddha Yoga is a path by which we can utilize this present body, present mind, present intelligence in such a way as to realize who we actually are. Become free from misidentifying ourselves with a false temporary existence which is full of problems. The major problems are birth, death, old age, and disease. Just like disease, dis-ease, lack of ease. If we look around the room, we can see that it's very hard to sit straight because our back must be hurting us. And if our backs don't hurt us, then our knees hurt us, and listening to the class, our head may hurt us. So many things we're experiencing lack of ease. And it doesn't diminish as we grow older. It is not that now I'm 75 years old and all my problems have diminished. My body feels healthier and younger. No, it increases. And whether we like it or not, we don't want to impress anyone here, but ultimately we have to leave this body that we love and adore and worship, serve so nicely with such full-hearted enthusiasm, working day and night to fulfill the necessities of this body, its every demand. Everything's arranged nicely. The Kleenex are in the right place in case I sneeze, and the water's there to hydrate myself. Everything's there very nicely in order to take care of my body. But in spite of all my sincere service, without any interruption, without any hesitation, it grows old and we get kicked out of the body. That's called death. And in spite of my whatever idea I may have, I get another body, whether a spiritual one, if we've spiritualized my consciousness, or I'll have to take another material body. And it may not be a human being. It is not that everyone automatically gets a human body. Just ask the birds outside, if there are any here, and ask the grass, ask the ants. They all believed that they were definitely going to heaven, each one of them, because they were good people in their last lifetime. And lo and behold, they woke up and they were crawling on the ground. Or they're flying. Or they're just kind of standing there and all their old enemies were stepping on them. So it is not that it is automatically we get another human form of life. That will depend upon the laws of nature. And whether we like it or not, the laws of nature are not made by the House of Representatives, nor by the Senate. It is not a democratic universe. The laws of nature are already made, and we cannot, by our vote, even though we're in the United States, our votes will not change the laws of nature. As we can see, in spite of being in the United States, still, although it's undemocratic, our body is still changing. And we will have to, sooner or later, leave this body and enter into another body. Therefore, in the meantime, one should understand how to utilize this intelligence and how to utilize our mind. Our intelligence is supposed to direct the mind. Our mind is full of feelings and emotions, so many things we like, so many things we don't like. But intelligence is supposed to tell the mind what to do. What the mind in the sense is what to do, how to think, whether it likes it or not. So that sounds very cruel. And of course, we cannot immediately dictate to our minds, dictate to our senses, what's good and what's bad according to higher principles. There are so many things now we like, so many things we dislike, so many people we like, so many people we dislike. But in spite of that, utilizing our intelligence is supposed to control the mind. And intelligence is supposed to be controlled by higher knowledge. And that higher knowledge is supposed to reveal to us, at least first of all, what the laws of nature are. For instance, as I mentioned, the first law of nature is that everything here belongs to God. So that may take some explanation that there is a God. Many people think that everything has happened by accident. There was no God. It all came about by chance. Of course, those very people who claim that everything came about by chance, they leave nothing in their life to chance. If they want to make money, they don't sit at home and wait for chance, supreme chance, to come and give them money. They go out, and by their intelligence, they try to figure out, by hook or crook, how to make money. To get their degree in college, they don't depend upon chance. The atomic scientist who's claiming everything has happened by chance, he goes to the university, not by chance, but by use of his intelligence, he conducts so many activities in order to prove whatever theory he has. So that eventually he can get his degree, not by chance, but by use of his intelligence. So even the people who claim everything is by chance, they leave no chance in their life if they can. Who they marry is not by chance. Who they divorce is not by chance. How they make money is not by chance. Nothing in their life is by chance or by accident. There are no accidents. If two cars crash into each other on the street and the police come and ask what happens, what had happened, the people the witnesses don't say, don't worry, police, it's not really very important. It was just an accident. It just happened by accident. They want to find out what caused the accident, that every accident has a cause, and it's not by chance. Similarly, the universe has not come about by accident or by chance. It's come about by a supreme intelligence. And that supreme intelligence is the person who owns everything here. And everything here has a purpose. The supreme creator has created everything for a purpose. It's not that he had a day off, he had nothing to do, so he created a few universes here and there, see what they would look like. It's not how things happen. He had a purpose behind it, and that purpose is to help us get out of our prison. Just like the government creates a prison, not by accident, One day, the president of the country had a bad day. Because our president probably has a few, more than one or two bad days. He had a bad day, and therefore, he decided by accident to create a prison and put a few people into it. Because that might happen. Who knows? In any case, it's generally not what we expect. So, similarly, this universe is created and we find ourselves in a prison. Why? Because ultimately, we want to steal from God. We want to claim that there is no God and that I'm free here to do with this material energy anything I want to do or anything the television tells me to do. In any case, this material world is actually created so if we want, we can enter into any body, any species of life we want to and try to enjoy the same thing. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Whether as a fish or as a human being or as a demigod, we have the opportunity to eat, to sleep, to have sex, and to defend ourselves. But the human form of life is specifically given to us so that we can learn how to do these things in such a way as to become free from our misidentification with this body and become eligible to transfer our real selves back to our real situation, back to the spiritual situation that we come from. In order to do that, we have to recognize, first of all, that there is a proprietor here and that he not only owns the material universe, he owns everything within it, including my body. Therefore, I should willingly, as mentioned here, utilize my body in his according to how he would like me to. And not only grudgingly, oh, this God, he's so cruel, he wants me to do this and that, I'm a slave to God now, I got to follow the order, or else he's going to throw me into the burning fire. No, God, please don't do it. No, I'll do anything. Not the burning fire. Sorry, throw you into the burning fire. No, with priti purvakam, as it says here, with enthusiasm, because what Krishna wants us to do is to become happy. Not a bad thing. Someone who's trying to make us happy couldn't be a bad person in our eyes. So he's trying to make us happy. But we say, no, forget it. I want to stay here and suffer. Don't make me happy. Whatever you do, I'm not going to be happy. I'm going to suffer forever. Please become happy. No, I'm not going to listen to you. I know how to make you happy. I don't care. I want to suffer. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. So Krishna is giving us information, and we should become enthusiastic about his information, how to become eternally happy. So this is called priti purvakam, enthusiasm, antesham satatam yuktanam. We should connect with Krishna and follow his instructions so we don't get burned in the material consciousness. Then if we do that, then Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Krishna is giving everyone intelligence. It is not only to those who serve him, he gives him intelligence. But he's giving intelligence to everyone. He's giving intelligence to the animals, to the plants, to the human beings. Even the human beings who want to avoid Krishna, Krishna gives them all intelligence how they can live this in this material world so they'll never remember Krishna. And they'll always forget him. How to avoid Krishna, how to do things in such a way is that one will never become Krishna conscious if one wants that. And practically speaking, modern society is an attempt to teach people how to avoid God completely. God is not allowed in the schools. God is not allowed in the state. Where is God allowed? In the church. For a few old people who come once a week and pray to God to please give me some money. So God is everywhere. It is not that by our laws God has become illegal in America or anywhere else. God is everywhere, but our consciousness is nowhere. Our awareness of Krishna is nowhere. That's the problem. They claim that God is dead, but actually our intelligence is dead. That's why we think God is dead. Therefore, we should find out what Krishna wants us to do with his body, with his energy, and we should do it enthusiastically because that will solve all our problems. And our main problem, we have no problem except for our misidentification with this body. Because we ourselves as a spiritual soul, we're never going to die. We're eternal. And our nature is to be fully full of consciousness, full of awareness, and full of happiness. Our only impediment is our identification with this body. So by following Krishna's instructions, he'll give us the intelligence how to forget all the nonsense we've learned and how to become aware, not theoretically only, but by practical experience of another state of existence which is far superior to our present state, which our awareness increases. It is not that Krishna consciousness is blind following. It means to actually become aware of things as they are. Nor is it meant for absurd inquiries to find out some esoteric truths that have no relation to our present existence. But it's to become aware of actually things that are most relevant to our very core of existence, which are very practical to help us become aware of this universe, our own existence as it really is, to make tangible progress towards becoming free from all our misgivings, all our problems, and be able to help others become free from their misgivings and problems. And all we do is have to hear about what Krishna wants, try to understand it in a reasonable way, without unnecessarily rejecting Krishna's instructions or blindly following them. Try to hear, and then in a practical way, in our practical lives, apply them in such a way is that we actually experience a growing state of awareness of Krishna and a growing experience of his presence. So in this age, when things are very complicated, Krishna has advised us, while we are studying this literature, which is available here, such as Bhagavad Gita and other literatures, to try to understand things as clearly as possible in a practical way that we can apply in anyone's life, whether it would be a candlestick maker or a baker or in the other, maybe a few other occupations too. How to apply it within our lives. But as we're doing that, we can chant this, what's called a mantra, which will also free our consciousness from all misgivings and all misconceptions. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this chanting will purify our intelligence so that this unnecessary anxiety over the results of our work that we're presently doing, wondering whether we're going to get something in return and lamenting that we never got quite what we wanted in the past. Santa Claus from my very childhood didn't give me what I wanted. And my boss didn't give me what I wanted. My family didn't give me what I wanted. Maybe in the future, Santa Claus will give me what I want if I'm good and I don't complain. This worrying about the results of our work, or speculating how this universe is working, what everyone else is thinking, how things have come about, all the speculation that goes through our mind. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra will purify all our anxiety, will help us to see things clearly so we won't have to speculate, and produce within us a growing awareness of Krishna, who's the source of all love. And the more we understand Krishna, then the more we'll experience and understand what real love is. And since they're always singing about love, praising love, writing books about love, when we actually experience love, then we'll actually appreciate it for what it really is. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. So again, we have some magazines here. We also have a Bhagavad Gita. We can sell you this one if you want to. So I think now it's time for the feast. Does someone have a question? Okay. Do you have a question? Yes. Okay, a common question.
So it was a nice point Prabhupada made in the purport about the gradual progress that one makes on the path of Krishna consciousness. Generally speaking, people want instant results. They want from their meditation or from their going to church, they want to experience something or anything in life, they want a quick result. But Prabhupada says that once we become fixed in knowing that Krishna is the goal, so as you are speaking tonight, and as Prabhupada has given me information, we want to fix our intelligence that the actual goal of life is Krishna, to attain service to Krishna, Krishna Das, or all eternal service to Krishna, and then gradually transverse the path, which is not necessarily so easy. It takes association with sadhus, with holy people, with the stuff that you mentioned, the Bhagavad Gita, and constantly associating with devotees, chanting, doing the different activities, so gradually we increase and we make progress. But the result is that if we stick with the path, we're going to achieve the highest happiness, we're going to achieve some of the things that you mentioned. But if we give up early because it's difficult, then we will again be forced by the senses to look for instant gratification. Maybe we can talk about that for a moment or think about it.
Well, there's nothing easy in this material world. It's not that people waking up at 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, drive 2 hours to work is easy every day, working 6 days a week, and every year your amount of money that your dollar can buy diminishes, and therefore now your people's are not only the husband is working, now the wife has to work, and so the kids will have to work, and even the dog will have to get a job soon. So it's not easy to anyone. You have to hire the dog out as a watchdog just to get his food. So, if we don't take to this Krishna consciousness, which in the beginning, maybe Krishna says, bitter like poison, but the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. On the other hand, that which in the beginning seems to be like pleasure, at the end usually turns out like poison, which is born in contact with the senses, with their objects, is said to be the mode of passion. And with that which in the beginning and the end is blind to the process of self-realization, which is based upon sleep, laziness, and illusion, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness, ignorance. So we have to choose what kind of happiness we're interested in. Happiness which will last, although at first it may be some austerity we have to go through. But then everyone goes through austerity nowadays. Getting up early in the morning, driving to work, working, spending a whole life doing it. At the end, and having to, whatever you have to do, take care of all the other family members, and you wind up in an old age home, which is quite an austerity. So, the material world is an austere place. So we have to choose what kind of austerity we're going to follow. We choose austerity in the mode of goodness, then we'll get permanent results. The other austerities will get maybe temporarily, seemingly good results, but ultimately they'll turn out to be worse and worse and worse. So if we want to make real progress, we have to decide what kind of austerity I'm going to go through. Yes. No, we should find out what it is. God, just like, for instance, if you want to learn how to do any kind of activity, for instance, play tennis, you don't usually go out on the tennis court and intuit how to play tennis. You generally learn from someone who knows how to play tennis, or at least you watch someone who knows how to play tennis. Not that you don't, you know, intuit which side of the racket to hold and, you know, how you hit the ball, whether you hit it with your arm or the racket. You watch someone else doing it and you learn from them. either by hearing from them or watching them. Similarly, God, Krishna, or whoever else we call Krishna, Jehovah, Yahweh, they've given instructions what their plan is. God is not some person who's somehow or another he lost his voice and he can't speak. He's trying to make some sign language, but no one can understand him. No, he can speak just like we can, and he's already spoken. He's spoken Bhagavad Gita. He's spoken other literatures also. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna clearly says what he wants. No one can explain as clearly as God can. If we have some ability to explain things, well, God has an infinite, more better ability than we have to explain things. And if we hear from him with the right attitude, then gradually we'll understand what God wants us to do. And the more we do it, then the more we'll be able to understand. Krishna will give us more and more intelligence to see things clearly, exactly what he wants us to do. God is not schizophrenic. He's not indecisive. He's not unsure exactly what he wants to do here. He knows exactly what he wants every living entity to do here. And he'll tell us if we want to hear from him. And if we don't want to hear from him, then the illusory energy called Maya, she'll bewilder us and we won't know what to do. So God knows what he wants us to do. And when we hear from God, then we'll know what we're supposed to do. And if we don't, then we'll be unsure because the illusory energy will bewilder us. And then we won't see anything clearly. We won't see ourselves. We won't see God. We won't see anything around us as it really is. And we won't know what to do. Yes. Well, first we have to come to goodness. Just like, for instance, if you want to fly from here to New York, the best thing to do is to go to the airport first. Now, if you decide, why should I waste my time and money to go to the airport to get the plane? Why don't I just stand on my roof, put out my thumb, and maybe it'll stop and pick me up? It's very unlikely. We have to go through the trouble to go to the airport. Then it's much more likely to get a plane. And when we're in the plane, we can fly over to New York. So the mode of goodness is where all the transcendental airplanes are parked. And there it's much more likely to board one of those transcendental airplanes and go back to the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribo. Well, meditation means trying to keep the mind still. God is always talking to us. Whether we can hear him or not, it's another thing. There's two energies. There's the material energy, which is our mind contaminated by material desire. And then there's God speaking to us. How to work in such a way as to become free from this contaminated intelligence, contaminated mind, contaminated conception. But just like when you have a pool of water, if there's mud on the bottom and you stir it, and it's agitated, and all the mud gets agitated, and it colors the water, so we can't see the bottom of the pool.
Well, is there another thing that God speaks in the sense that whatever happens, of course?
Yes. Thank you.
I guess it might be speaking in the sense of whatever unfolds in your life, having a stable home.